Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday morning, and our regular Friday features will begin at 3. We got You Big Dummy, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday all coming up. Well, you know, when we play that song, it means our good friend Herb Weisbaum is here. He's a consumer reporter for NBC News, KOMO Radio. You can follow him at consumerman.com. He's here to answer some of your questions and your concerns, consumer-related and money-related. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Herb, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Nick.
Good. Staying safe?
Staying safe, staying inside. If you saw my Facebook page, I just posted a picture getting ready to go on your show. I got a beard now.
I know. I saw that.
Not dark like yours, so I'm either going to shave it off or do a Santa Claus gig coming up in December. I haven't decided yet which way to go. The votes on the Facebook page seem to be the Santa Claus gig.
Yeah.
So...
Well, yeah, we're all, you know, everybody's staying in. I mean, we, you know, I come down here and do the show, you know, in the studio, and then I go directly back home and I'm in. To, you know, being as safe as we can, as clean as we can. My hands are scaly from the washing and the hand sanitizer that I've been using on a constant basis. But that's
hand lotion. Talked about it the other day is really, really important for that. You have to do that on top of everything else.
Yeah.
I have been commuting since Tuesday 2 weeks ago. So I haven't gone into the radio station here in Seattle. I'm able to do everything from home. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit cumbersome, but and there are not very many people on my floor. But, you know, we're in a situation where because we got it first and saw the devastation that we're, I think most of us here are taking it really, really seriously, unlike some parts of the country. And all indications are, and they've been saying this from a local level and the White House level, that it seems to be working, that our curve is dropping.
Yeah.
That hospitals, I talked to my doctor the other day for something, and she's a big bucky buck in the hospital, and she said, you know, the emergency room is not crazy right now as we expected it to be, which is a very, very good sign.
Just stay in. Stay in. That's the thing. Stay in and bide your time, watch some TV, read a book, listen to some music, listen to the radio, all of that stuff. So,
and they'll listen to the radio. You've got to listen to the radio.
Yeah.
And our governor, by the way, tonight, the breaking news from here is tonight the governor extended his stay home, stay safe order. So it was supposed to expire in April, first week in April, a couple days from now. And it's going to be extended now till May the 4th. And he said that's a tentative, and that doesn't mean it's going to be over by then. So we've now extended this to May the 4th. We're looking at 6,500 known cases and 270 deaths in our state. And he just wants to make sure that we try to knock this thing down. So we're all being told to stay in place. He did not come out with any recommendation about masks. As you may know from the news that L.A., the mayor there, and also in New York, the mayor there today said they're suggesting to people that when they go out, they make their own masks, not surgical masks, the kind they need in the hospital, but put some kind of mask on. I've talked to a lot of experts about this for doing stories. I've talked to some of the top virologists, some of the top people who deal with the infectious diseases in the country, and they're of mixed feeling about this. They definitely feel better that you're not taking out the surgical supply. And quite frankly, if they told us to wear surgical masks, go to the store. You can't find them, so that would be a silly thing to tell us to do. They're just not there.
Yeah.
But the medical people need them. But as far as making your own, the message is mixed, or the feeling is mixed from the experts I've spoken to. Some say it probably could help. It's going to possibly, you know, cut down the transmission from you if you have the virus and you're walking around with no symptoms, as we know about a quarter of the people are now doing. It could also possibly help you from getting those droplets into your system if somebody is in front of you nearby and had them. The problem is two things. One, if you're going to do that, you have got to wash it every time you come back in the house. I mean, wash it. Like, take it off, wash it. Dry it out in the sun if you can. The sun is a great sanitizer. It's a great disinfectant. And then wash your hands right away. Their fear is you'll wear these things. You won't clean them. You'll get stuff on the outside of the mask. You'll touch it, and then you'll infect yourself the first time you touch your face or your eyes.
Yeah.
So that's rule number one. And rule number two is they're afraid that that will give people a false sense of security. Just because you have a mask on does not mean you can start going out and just, you know, going to stores and, hey, let's see what's going on, and I got a mask on and I'm safe. And they're afraid that might give the, you know, I see people taking the entire family out to Costco to go shopping when the mom and dad or whatever could go, or one person could do the shopping. You're supposed to limit your exposure. Costco, by the way, just said only two people per card starting now, so that it's not that kind of situation. And some people go to the mall just to, like, hang out for the few stores that are open. No, you're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be making a sacrifice and sheltering in place. So I just hope if people start to wear the mask, that doesn't give them this false sense of now you're invulnerable and invincible.
Right.
Doesn't mean that at all.
Yep. But the
Boeing count, I just found one little note for you, last thing. Boeing said that starting April the 8th, so 2 days after my birthday, Wednesday, it will start to bring back thousands of production workers in the Puget Sound area. You know, we got some like 70,000 people out of work. We got the big plant in Everett and the big plant in Renton out of work. And they spent shut down 2 weeks in Everett. And, Renton is the max, so that's not really needed to do anything. But the other one's making the big plant, the Dreamliner and that sort of thing, 777. And they've done deep cleaning, will be for 2 weeks. And they said they're going to start to bring the folks back on April the 8th. So
there you go. All right. Well, so we're getting some good news. Every once in a while, it's coming out. Just as long as we stay inside, you know, hopefully everything will blow over in a little while, and we'll be back to as normal as we can possibly be.
And they paid all those people while they were off, so that's good from an economic standpoint. And a number of companies are doing that. They're trying to do everything they can to possibly pay their people, which, again, is just going to help the economy enormously for the people that can get, even if they give them reduced hours. Something is going to help the situation.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the financial things about this from the consumer angle, about what's going on in the world right now. Lots of stories. And if you want to jump in, you got a question or a concern for Herb, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right. Herb Weissbaum is with us, and a consumer reporter for NBC News and KOMO Radio. And we got a lot of stories to talk about. And again, if you have a question or a concern or a comment, it's 312-981-7200. More with Herb Weissbaum coming up right here on 720 WGN. Morning. And Nick DiGilio here. Herb Weissbaum is a consumer reporter for NBC News and KOMO Radio. Joins us every month, usually, to talk about consumer issues. And Herb, welcome.
Thank you, Billy Preston, the Fifth Beatle. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to love that song. People have questions about what's going on here. Now, obviously, as people know, that the taxes have been pushed to, instead of April 15th, to July 15th. And there's an article here about should you file your taxes now or wait? And then some other money questions have been answered. Tell us a little bit about this, Herb.
Sure. Well, I'll start your tax question, if you like. And the answer is that if you are expecting a refund, you should absolutely file your return, if you haven't already, as soon as possible, because you want to get that money in hand. If you owe the IRS money, and by the way, if you file your return electronically and have it electronically deposited into a bank account, the IRS is still functioning normally, they say, and will have it in your account on average of 21 days, 3 weeks. So that's the fastest way to get your money back, as opposed to getting it in a check or something like that. If you owe money and you can pay it and you've got a good job and you're still working, there's no reason not to. If you can't pay it, then why not put it off until July and keep the money? I mean, right now we're in a situation where cash is king. You want to keep the money around in case the unexpected happens. So there's no need to pay early. There's no penalty involved. If you need the money and can't pay, then don't pay and don't file until close to July, the July 15th deadline, and you'll be in good shape. The one thing to keep in mind is if you make $69,000 or less, if you have an adjusted gross income of $69,000 or less, you should go to the IRS website and click on Free File, because you can file, you can prepare and file your returns electronically for free by using some of the big well-known tax preparation software that's specifically designed to do this. But you got to go to make sure you're in the right place to IRS.gov and then click on the Free File option. There'll be 10 various programs that you can choose from. Some will do both your state return and your federal return. You can't qualify for all of them. They're different qualifications, but you should qualify for at least one or more. So that's where you should go. The one other tip I have regarding taxes. I have actually two. One is, if you find yourself in a situation where you had a lot of money coming back this year and you're in an okay situation, then maybe, because if you need it, you need it, but if maybe you should redo your W-4 form. The IRS came out with new W-4 forms this year to file with your employer, and maybe let Uncle Sam keep less of your money and actually keep more of that money with you. If you got a $3,000 tax refund this year, and you decided to put your numbers where they should be, you get an extra $250 each and every month to pay down your debt or save for the future. So why give Uncle Sam an interest-free loan for an entire year? You could do something with that money. So just to consider that. The last thing is, a lot of people don't realize this, the one last thing that you may possibly be able to do to lower your taxes, the ones we're doing now, the 2019 taxes, is to make the maximum contributions to your IRA and your 401k accounts. Normally, the last time to do that is tax deadline April 15th. But with the tax deadline being extended, you now have till July 15th. So if you haven't maxed out your 401k, you haven't maxed out your IRA, and that will give you a tax deduction, then do it. Put that money in. You have until July 15th to do it. And so you can both save for the future and also cut the taxes you owe Uncle Sam.
Okay. All right. And you answered some of these other questions too in this article that people might have. You can go through some of these other ones too.
Since I was just talking about the 401k, a lot of people have questions about that. Obviously, it's not a pretty thing to look at. I just looked at the statement when it came out April the 1st. I did better than the markets because I'm older and I have some money in the non-stock related funds. But, you know, if you're in a retirement account, money that's in that retirement account, if it's in equities, if it's in the stock market, it should be something you don't need for, the experts vary, but many years, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years down the road. So to you, what actually happened right now on paper in your account does not matter, because you're not going to touch that money until 5 or 6 years from now. If history is a guide, the market will rebound. Experts are saying it may take a year or two for the market to rebound. But if you do something silly like panic and pull the money out in the market when it's low, you can't time the market. You're going to lock in those losses. And all the studies that have been shown show that people who do that kind of thing make less than the markets make. So the advice is stick with it. Take a deep breath. Don't look at your 401k every week. It doesn't matter. The number that counts is when you're retiring. Obviously, if you have some individual stocks that you think are dogs and are never going to come back, you know, you might want to get rid of them now. Be a good time to do that. But not a lot of monkeying going on in the stock market. The other question is, people are asking, should I continue contributing to my 401k, or with the market down, should I stop? And the answer from the Motley Fool is you absolutely should continue to make contributions to your 401k if you can afford to do it. And the reason is, the goal of investing in the stock market is to buy low and sell higher. Well, what you're doing right now with your investments that you put in the 401k is you're buying lower, and hopefully when the market goes up, you've got more shares that will go up and appreciate and be higher when it comes time to retire. So you absolutely want to continue doing that as long as you can afford it. You at least want to make your corporate match, put enough in to make your corporate match. But if you can do more, why not do it? You're buying. It's what Warren Buffett does. He buys the market when the market goes down, and if it's good enough for Warren, by God, it's good enough for me.
Okay. All right.
You can quote me on.
Yeah, you can quote you on that. We have we have someone who's on the line here has a question. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hi, I'm on disability, and I don't pay taxes, and I want to know if I'm eligible for the stimulus package.
The stimulus, it's going to be difficult for people who do you get Social Security? So you're in the government system somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, it should come to you, and I assume you get that automatically deposited into a checking account.
Well, I have a debit card that I get my money.
It's all electronic. You don't get a check; it goes onto the debit card.
Yes.
Yeah, you may not be as quick as the people who get automatic deposit into a bank account, but you probably should be. They're still working the things out. They were talking at the White House today. The things are being announced, and everybody's not on the program. But you should be okay. The people who are going to have the problem, Nick, are the people who don't have bank accounts and have no way for the government to deposit that money into an account.
Mm.
Like 14 million Americans that don't have a bank account in this country. So luckily, Jimmy's got an account, and he's all taken care of. And Jimmy, you should be just fine.
Okay.
is that what are they going to do? And they're going to have to work out a program, they think, where they're talking about having a website, a government website set up, where you could go to a bank, open a checking account, and then put that in the system, and it would tell the government, I now have a checking account, and then you could deposit money. And I'm hoping the banks of America step up and make it really easy for people to do really cheap, lifelong kind of checking accounts. That would be a great thing for the industry to do to help out at this time of crisis. But we got to worry about those people are going to be in serious hurt, because it could take, they said in some cases, 4 weeks to 4 months for them to get their checks. That's a long time to wait.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is with us. Herb, you want to help people out here. There's an article about stimulus check scams. And again, the scammers, you know, even in a crisis like this, the scammers have no soul, and they're going to try and scam you. And these stimulus check scams are out there.
Well, I just was talking to some fraud experts today at fraud.org, and it is unbelievable. This is like golden time for the scam artists. They are now making scam robocalls. They are now sending out scam texts, emails, Facebook posts, and they're going after anything related to the coronavirus. So there's stimulus checks. There's the virus itself. We're going to have the census going on now, which is going to be a little weird because of the coronavirus. They're sending out malicious stuff related to all this. They're telling people that you have to go to this, click here, go to this website to fill out your personal information in order to get the stimulus check. They're telling people that they have to click here and do something in order for them to do the census. They're telling people that there's a cure that's been available and there's something you need to know about and click here. So first of all, the government is not going to send you or contact you at all. It's the government. About the stimulus check program. So you're not going to get an email, you're not going to get a text, you're not going to get a telephone call. Anyone calling, texting, or emailing, and they're not going to post social media ads telling you to click a link. Any of those things you see regarding the stimulus money or the various state programs that are underway now to help small businesses and the loans and all that sort of thing, that is a scam. They are not reaching out to you. You've got to contact them and stay on the phone for hours or use the websites they have set up. There is no coronavirus cure. And anybody that claims that they have somebody to help you or boost your immunity, again, it's a scam. Don't have anything to do with it. As far as the census goes, the Census Bureau won't even start reaching out to people until May now. They put that off. They're going to start in April and May now because of the coronavirus situation. You do it all online. They're only going to contact you if you don't fill out the form online. It does not ask you for your Social Security number. It does not ask you for a bank account number or anything personal like that. And it does not ask you citizenship. So there's nothing to be afraid about from immigration and customs situation. They don't ask that question, but it means a lot of money that's going to come to Illinois and your state and my state. It's for representation in Congress, and it's how much money you get from the federal government. It is really important that people fill that out. But nobody's contacting you from the government at this point in time telling you, hi, we need you to do this, and click here and give us your personal information like a credit card or a bank account or Social Security number. They're not doing that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We got another person on the line here. Here's Jerry on WGN. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
From what you said, I understand that federally and state, we do not have to file nor pay till July 15th. But some of us pay estimated taxes, which I do April 15th and June 15th. I heard someone on WGN Radio say at the federal level, the estimateds are not due till July 15th, but the state of Illinois has not gone along with that.
Okay, I don't know. I don't have any information on what the state of Illinois is doing. Every state, and I know that Night and Nick, you go to 38 states, so every state is doing something different about their income. Yeah. If they have an income tax, I'm assuming, and I will I will double check this online if I can while we're in the next commercial break, that if you're doing an estimated tax, that has been put off as well, because what they're trying to do is keep the money with you. But as far as the state goes, they're two different animals, and you can't assume anybody listening in any state with an income tax that your state has done anything based on what the feds did. The feds did it for the federal income tax, and that is all.
Yeah, and Jerry, Herb is in Seattle. He's not in Illinois, so he doesn't know the stuff that's going on just in Illinois. But you'd have to check that out yourself to find out, Jerry.
Go to the Department of Revenue.
All right,
tell you check the website. They'd let you know.
There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here is Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
I haven't made over $27,000 for the last couple of years, unfortunately, which is a story unto itself. But anyhow, I have not filed for 2018 or 2019. I am going to file this year. But I don't know how I'm going to collect the $1,200 from the government.
I think we're starting to get some guidance on that, and I think you're going to have to file your taxes. That's what they're going to start with and work with people on that. So they're saying that that's one reason why people file an income tax, is so that they need to do this kind of thing. The government can get to you. So you will probably have to go, I assume with the income you're making, it's a very simple 1040 or 1040A. You can do it online. Go to free file, like I said, the irs.gov/free file. You can do it, and you can file it. They may or may not down the line hit you with some penalties. If you owe any money, you may even actually have some credits coming back depending on your situation. But in this case, with the bureaucracy that's involved with this stimulus money, I would file the returns and get them in there and get in the system so they got your number in the system, and you wind up getting the checks when they start rolling out in 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for the call. 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on.
Okay.
Herb Weisbaum continues. He's our consumer man. We've got more consumer stories to talk about. 312-981-7200 for talk and text as the Nick DiGilio show rolls on.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine.
Yeah.
With the impossible exception of the North.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He joins us once a month to talk about consumer issues, and consumerman.com is his website. Herb, we're back.
Hey, Nick, you don't know this, but the slogan on my radio show that used to be in Seattle was, "You've got questions, he's got answers."
Yeah.
So your listeners add questions, Herb has answers.
There it is, right there.
So the gentleman who asked the question about quarterly estimated taxes of the federal government.
Yeah.
The IRS has said that you can delay the April 15th payment until July 15th. There are some limitations, like it can't be more than $1 million you owe and some things like that, but they did do that. They have not yet addressed the issue, which they've been asked about, second quarter estimated taxes, which are due June 15th. So for the time being, you do not have to pay the April 15th taxes until July 15th, but you still have to pay the second quarter taxes June 15th unless they decide to push those off, and they got plenty of time to deal with that, and they may do that. So that's question number one.
All right.
Question number two about will I get my money if I haven't filed my income tax? This stuff is so fast breaking. They just announced this last night. The White House rolled back what its advice, and what the Treasury Department is saying now is that Social Security beneficiaries who don't have to file an income tax, and they haven't done that for the past 2 years because they don't need to file an income tax. They will get their checks of up to $1,200 under the new economic program. So, again, the quote from Steve Mnuchin is, Social Security recipients who are not typically required to file a tax return need to take no action and will receive their payment directly to their bank account. That still assumes that the caller said, they called a while ago, that if you are required to pay taxes and are required to pay file a return, you probably should to get yourself in the system. So my advice to him, I think, was still solid. But people, last time we were on, people were asking about Social Security, and they just changed that. So you now don't have to file if you're not a normal filer, if you get Social Security.
Okay.
It's a change. Hey, it's like unbelievable. I mean, really, every press conference, something changes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Here's Mel on WGN. Go ahead, Mel.
Yes. Herb, thank you. Okay, quick RMD question, a follow-up for 2020 taxes, okay? My understanding, the government does not find it necessary to compile everything for 2020 for those of us who do an RMD. First of all, is that true?
You know, I'm not a tax expert. I am not a tax expert, so I really can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. He's not a tax expert, so Mel, he's just here for to give you some consumer advice. Hey, Herb, you wrote a piece about, you know, because everybody's stuck at home now, but you wanted to warn people to be careful when they're streaming video, correct?
Yeah. Yes, because we're all streaming video right now, and these services are available, and some of them are also being offered for free. So you just really need to be careful of which services you're getting hooked up to. You know, some of these are legitimate, some of them are not. Some of them will give you a free bonus thing, but you've automatically signed up for paying money after a certain amount of time. So you have to be careful. I know what you're signing. Look at the fine print and do that sort of thing. The other thing that I just wrote about today, as a matter of fact, is people who are now teleconferencing from home. So that's the big thing now.
Yeah.
People having these meetings from home. And just a couple of things to consider, and that is, first of all, that camera is taking more than the picture of your face. It's taking a picture of everything in the background. It's taking a picture of the pictures you have on the wall, or the posters, or what's on your bookshelf, stuff you may or may not want a business associate or your boss or someone to see. So just look at the picture in your monitor and see what you're seeing, kind of thing. So that's important, number one. And number two, if you're taking part in this thing, you're probably aware that, I mean, everybody can see and hear what you're saying and doing, but you may not be aware that some of these platforms make it very easy for the organizer in some cases and for others in some cases to record every single thing that takes place during that teleconference. And, you know, there's also cell phones, so somebody could just record it with their cell phone. So you need to assume that while you're taking part of this event, it could be recorded, saved for posterity, and shared with someone else or wind up someplace else. So you just got to be careful what you say and do in these things, because it could be recorded and could come back to bite you on the butt sometime in the future. It's not like it just goes out into cyberspace and is never to be seen again. So I just want to make sure that people are really clear about that.
Yeah. It's good advice. You know, this is where, I mean, Herb, as I'm stating the obvious here, but we're in uncharted territory right now.
Absolutely.
And nobody knows really what to do. Everybody's a little scared. Everybody's concerned. We've never done anything like this before or gone through anything like this before. So there's clearly going to be questions and clearly going to be concerns. And, we just want to make sure everybody's okay, you know?
And everybody's got questions, and they're really good questions, because, again, we just don't know the answers. I mean, everything that I'm being asked, again, I'm not a doctor. I play one on the radio every once in a while, but I'm not a doctor. But I talk to medical experts, and they're asking questions about, you know, I got a package from Amazon today. What should I do? You know, my wife got a package today that came from the UPS guy, and it was outside. We saw it out there, and, you know, they're saying that that the virus can last on paper for 24 hours. It can last on plastic or glass for longer than that. So what do you do? Before you bring it in the house, you go out with the wipes, and I took the Clorox wipes, and I wiped it down really well, and then I put it in the part of the family room where nobody goes. It's a separate room we have, the old living room. Put it in there, and I said to her, we'll open it tomorrow. We're just going to give it a little bit of time. Am I paranoid? No. Is it make sense to be smart if you can? Absolutely, yes, because we just don't know a whole lot of things about this virus. It continues to mutate. Doctors are learning more and more about it all the time. So you just have to take those extra steps. You know, I did a story about disinfecting your car. People were asking about when I go to get gas. Yes, you should be wearing gloves when you go to the gas station and pick up that pump and push the buttons that everybody else and their brother has touched, and make sure that you take the gloves off when you get back in the car before you infect the steering wheel. But you also need to think about disinfecting the car. I mean, so the door handle, the inside, the outside, the buttons you use for the windows, the screen where you touch the touchscreen, the steering wheel, the key fob. You need to think about all those kind of things. You got to be careful, because you could actually ruin or damage some electronic products if you use the wrong cleaning product. And I talk about that in one of the stories. My tech team at the radio station said, if you use one of those really strong bleach wipes on your computer screen, you're going to wipe off the anti-glare the coating that's on there. You don't want to do that. You want to use a little hydrogen peroxide or maybe just a teeny bit of isopropyl alcohol, or quite frankly, just a wet rag with a little soap and water, damp rag, not wet, damp kind of thing. With cell phones, Apple now says you can use Clorox wipes if you make sure the ports are all secure, so you're not getting it into the ports. Other manufacturers are saying different things. You could ruin the leather in your car if you're not careful and you use these wipes. So you need to just try to check and look around for information. You need to do it, but you need to be careful before you do it, so you don't do some kind of damage or damage some kind of things, because that's really possible, and then you can't basically go backwards in time.
Yeah, true. Okay, here's Doc on WGN. Go ahead, Doc.
Hey, Herb, I got some questions about that PPP, Payroll Protection Program, or Paycheck Protection Program. a comment and two questions. First, I've heard that it's supposed to start tomorrow. I've heard that it's designed to save a lot of these small businesses, but so many people that have been laid off are going to draw unemployment. Now the government's going to throw another $600 on top of it for 4 months and then extended unemployment. The people aren't going to come back. So they're just sealing the doom for a lot of small businesses because they won't have enough employees. But my question is, who exactly is going to verify this information? Because I heard today they said you may get the money the same day or the next day. Well, somebody's got to verify that, and to see if you kept 75% of your employees for 8 weeks, who's going to be around to check that in 8 weeks? And what do you think the cost will be, the bureaucratic administration cost for that program and all these other ones? Because they're going to tackle the thing with independent contractors next week and then other programs. So who's paying for all the bureaucracy?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Okay, let me try to tackle a few of them for you. First of all, some of them are above my pay grade. I have no idea how much it's going to cost to administer the program. And quite frankly, I don't give a hoot at this point in time. People need money, and we've got to get money into the system to keep the economy going. And I think that's the main focus at this point in time. I don't think the program is going to start as quickly. The small business loans, Nick, is what we're talking about here. I don't think this is going to start as quickly as the Mnuchin news conference led us to believe today. I was listening a couple hours ago to Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC. She's the financial reporter there, and she called a number of the big banks today, and some other reporters did too, like Chase, and they have no idea how they're going to start to administer this because it literally was announced to put in the Federal Register like 2 hours before the close of business or whatever. So I don't think anything's going to roll out tomorrow, and with it being Friday, we may be looking at next week. So I think the banks are going to have to put some programs into place and figure that out and try to do the best they can. Is there going to be fraud when there's a program like this? Yes. Is there a fraud all the time? Yes. Are you going to get caught? Maybe, maybe not. They're going to be inspectors going after the big people who do this. But, I mean, that's human nature, and that's the world we live in. But I'm sure there are going to be some kind of checks where people make do with what they can do. As far as getting money, the money into the system and people not going back to work, I'm not an expert in human nature, but I believe people who have been sitting in their houses are going to want to go back to work. A lot of people are very eager to go back to work. I'm semi-retired, and I can't wait to get back into the office again and see my friends and do things. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think the problem right now is getting some money in the economy to keeping a lot of businesses from going out of business. You know, and where we live, Nick, we have a lot of restaurants, a lot of small restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them were on the edge even before this.
Yeah.
And they announced we're closing. We just can't do it. We're not coming back. And one of the big restaurateurs announced today, he's got 800 employees he had to lay off. He's got some of the biggest restaurants in Seattle. And he said, I tried to do the takeout business, and it's just not working. I can't pay the bills. And so it doesn't make any sense to just shut them down and do the best we can. So we got to get some money for people who are on the edge. We got to get some money into businesses who need it to survive. And then we've got to get people to start taking this seriously in some of the places. I mean, I see pictures of people out of the national parks, and they're all on the ledge taking pictures, and there's 50 people sitting there all together. That just can't happen anymore. You've got to stop doing that kind of thing. This is like not anymore. You're risking yourself, your family, your grandfather, your grandmother, your parents, whatever. Like, no, this is unacceptable behavior. And people have to stop doing that because you could be giving yourself or somebody a death sentence. Yeah. And I think if we did a little bit more of that, took this a little bit more seriously and really took the pain of going stir crazy in the house, go outside in your yard and walk around, but going a little bit stir crazy, a little bit longer, the pain's going to be less of time than if we just keep dragging this thing out and the cases keep going up and up. And again, we're showing it in Seattle where we are staying. The governor shut down the playgrounds. You know, I saw people in New York there. They were playing basketball. These guys are doing pickup basketball. No, this is not the time to play basketball. So he shut all the parks down, which is really good. We're starting to drop the curve, and we're not where we should be at this point in time, and the quotient is not going up as much as it should be repeating itself. That is a sign to me and hope that maybe if people follow this, in some cases where it's not completely out of hand yet, we can actually get a handle on this and get back to business sooner than rather than later and save a whole lot of lives.
Right. Doc, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum. Hang on, okay, Herb?
Got it, Nick.
Okay. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He joins us every month to talk about consumer issues. It's a crazy time right now in the world, but Herb is here to give us some advice and answer a few questions on the consumer side of what's happening in the world right now. We'll continue with Herb on 720 WGN.
talking out loud, saying he bought her this and that, and how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all hell to see.
Hey, boy, you better bring a check around.
To the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it's a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be happening at 3 with Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Herb Weisbaum is my guest, consumer reporter for NBC News and KOMO Radio. You can check out consumerman.com, consumerman.com. And Herb joins us once a month to talk consumer issues. Herb, welcome back.
Thank you. By the way, I've been doing now 6 coronavirus story-related stories a week for KOMO Radio in Seattle. And if you want to get those, there's 2 ways to get them. Follow me on Twitter or Facebook, and you'll get every one. Or if you go to my website, as you know, consumerman.com, and click on the link, it gives you the sign up for the newsletter. You'll get every week an email from me, and you'll get all that stuff. And we're covering everything we've talked about on the show. Most of what we talked about today are my local radio broadcast reports that you'll get, you know, coronavirus and pets, how to clean your glasses, how to be safe at the gas pump. That follow me on Twitter/TheConsumerMan. Or Facebook Consumer Man, or go to consumerman.com and sign up for the newsletter. Every time I'm on your show, 25, 35 people sign up, and you'll get the stuff proactively from me every single week to keep up to date on things.
There you go. And the newsletter is entirely free. So just go to consumerman.com, click onto the newsletter, subscribe, and you'll get all the stuff that Herb is talking about. You did mention before, someone had a question about the car insurance thing.
Yeah, I guess you got a text about someone wanting to know, should I stop paying car insurance?
Yeah.
Obviously, if you don't have the car anymore, you shouldn't pay car insurance. But if you still have the car, even if you're not driving, you just can't stop paying the insurance, because the policy will be canceled. And then if the policy is canceled and you ever need to open it again, you're going to have a lapse policy, and they're going to charge you a whole lot more money. So, and also, if you're not driving, and it's going to be for a long time, you talk to your insurance and say, I'm not driving now, you know, take that part of it off. But you want to make sure you have the part that protects the car. Like, what if a tree falls on your garage or something like that? You want to have a tree in the driveway or something. You want to have that kind of protection if you have a decent vehicle. So rather than just not pay, you want to talk to your agent and see what things you can possibly do. Maybe they'll give you I'm told are giving coronavirus payment delay or a payment plan. So ask them if they have something in place for that. If not, then talk to them about possibly suspending your coverage or reducing your coverage. You know, maybe you have a low deductible, $500, and if you're not driving, maybe change that or something. And just see if there's anything you can do, but you just don't want to not pay, because if you don't pay, cancel, and then you're going to start from scratch, and then you're going to hate yourself because you're going to not believe the money they're going to ask you for.
Yeah. Just keep paying, even if you're not driving. You got to keep paying.
Work with companies. Really are working with people. The worst thing you could do is assume the worst and not call. It's going to take time. It's going to be hard to get through with them, or if you have an independent agent, that's why they come in handy. I called my guy when he saw what I could do. Call him up and just say, I got laid off. Here's the situation. I don't have much money. Can I get a month's extension? Can I pay late? Can I pay part? Is there a payment plan? What can I possibly do? I guarantee they'd rather keep you as a customer and keep the money coming than lose you as a customer and not have you ever come back again. They're willing to work.
Okay. Herb Weisbaum is here. Now, Herb, you mentioned briefly before, you wrote a little piece about the right way to clean your smartphones and high-tech electronic devices. Why don't you give a little advice for folks here?
Sure. And we talked about that briefly, but you got to be very, very careful when you do those kind of things. You don't damage anything. The one thing I didn't talk about, by the way, because we did talk about the high tech ones, and I think most of what I had to say. But the one that's interesting is how to clean your glasses.
Okay.
And not wearing contact lenses. Have you heard about that?
No.
So the advice is, that's an interesting one. Again, it's like so much coming our way so quickly. So the American Academy of Ophthalmology is recommending that for anyone who wears contact lenses, you should switch to glasses during the coronavirus outbreak. And it's funny, I noticed when I wrote this story a couple of days ago that all the anchors on TV are now wearing glasses. They stopped wearing their contact lenses. I said to my wife, why are they all wearing glasses? I think that's safety. So I checked, and that's exactly what the American Academy of Ophthalmology is recommending. Why? Because contact lenses wearers touch their eyes, more often than the average person. And, of course, that increases your risk of infection right now. So if you're going to continue to use contact lenses, and if you don't have glasses, you got to really wash your hands really, really carefully before you put those things in and do a proper disinfectant protocol. The other thing is, if you're wearing glasses, that adds an extra level of protection. Contact lenses don't really protect your eye. They don't cover enough from getting inoculated from the coronavirus. So you can go out if you want to and buy yourself. This is a tip from my friend at the UC Berkeley Wellness Center. Just go to this drugstore and buy yourself a pair of 100% non 100% glasses. There's no refraction whatsoever. It's like in the hospitals, they wear goggles. If you put glasses on, that's going to do a great deal to protect stuff from getting in your eyes when you go out. And if you wear contact lenses, Dr. Schwartzberg said to me, well, you can just buy the same glasses, 100% glass, and put that over your contact lenses. And again, the eyeglasses will give you protection, a physical barrier protecting your eye, where the contact lens isn't really going to do anything for you. So that's an option that you might want to consider doing that. Of course, if you're wearing sunglasses, that's the same kind of thing. They wrap, especially the wraparounds. If you go out, they protect your eye because they keep any of those particles from getting into your eye. So again, just one of those interesting stories. When you ask a lot of questions, you get very interesting answers.
Yeah, there's so much stuff going on, Herb. It's nuts. It really yep. is. You also wrote a thing about why you should use a credit card when you're shopping online. This is good advice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So a lot of us are shopping online right now. Sales are going up dramatically online, and a lot of criminals are opening online websites as well. So you've got to really be careful. The benefit of using a credit card is that a credit card has built-in fraud protection guaranteed by the federal government. When you're using a credit card, it's credit. You are using the bank's money. So when you make that purchase from Amazon, the bank is paying the money to Amazon, then the bank bills you to pay them the money. If you wound up on a fraudulent Amazon website or a dealer that did some problem, I'm just using Amazon as an example, whatever website, the bank would go up against the website and deal with them, and you're not out the money. You claim it's a fraudulent charge, and the bank deals with it. It's not your problem. A debit card is like a plastic check. A debit card is linked to your credit, to your checking account, and when you write something, it's coming out of your, when you use that card, it's coming out of your checking account. That's your money versus the bank's money. If there's a problem, if there's some fraud, if something happens, that's your money. And by law, the banks and credit unions have basically 10 days to investigate what's going on, even all the ones that claim they'll make you whole and you never lose any money, and et cetera, and they can take longer in extenuating circumstances. So indeed, let's say somebody drained your checking account or took a lot of money out of your checking account and you had money in there to pay the rent or make your car payment or pay the insurance or the mortgage or whatever, you may be out that money for 10 days or more until the bank puts it back in again. That's not going to happen with your credit card. That's the bank's money you're dealing with. So at this time, with all the scams going on, that's my advice for all the time. But at this time especially, with all the scams, all the scammers online now trying to do everything they can to steal your money, if you have a credit card, use the credit card. Don't use the debit card. It's a much safer way to go, and then pay the bill off with the money you have in your checking account.
Okay. Good advice. Good advice. All right, Herb, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So, Herb, really quickly, the coronavirus in your pets is another thing that you wrote. I don't have any pets, but I know a lot of people do, and there's been some concern about how this is going to happen.
Well, we have two furry family members, Sam the dog and Buster the cat, so we have to worry about them. So, and they love me spending more time home with them, so it's just great. But a lot of people are worried about getting sick from their pets or catching the coronavirus from them. So I checked with the experts, and in this case, it was the CDC and also the American Veterinary Medical Association. And the president of the AVMA, Dr. John Howe, told me, quote, to date, there have not been any reports of pets or other domestic animals being ill. There is no evidence that they can spread the virus. He actually said that because of the hair, the fur on these animals, that tends to absorb the virus and trap it and lock it in, which I didn't really realize, making it harder to have any contact through the touch. But, of course, as we all know, all animals carry germs that could make people sick. So the CDC says, you know, as always, wash your hands after handling animals, their food, their waste, their supplies. If you happen to go out for some reason and you're at a place where somebody is touching the dog's fur or touching the little jacket they have on or the collar or the leash, and again, you shouldn't be out there in public with a lot of people, in that case, I would make sure I very carefully washed all that stuff because that could pick up the coronavirus if someone was touching or doing that. So, or if you had a dog walker or something like that, at this point, I would want to disinfect any fabric material kind of stuff that came into contact with my animal and another human being.
Yeah. Okay. Always good advice, Herb. And I know you're working around the clock, we're like in uncharted territory. And we thank you so much for your time and answering the questions and helping people out. Stay inside, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, Nick. Thank you so much, too.
Okay, take care. Herb Weisbaum, he's great. Consumerman.com is the website, and you can go there, and you can subscribe to his free newsletter, and I suggest you do.